You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by HelloFresh. Whether you're a busy professional couple, a large family that runs a super fast-paced life, or even someone who just wants to start cooking more, HelloFresh makes it easier, tastier, and healthier than ever before to enjoy the experience of cooking new recipes and eating together at home. From creating the recipes and planning the meals to grocery shopping and even delivering all of the pre-measured ingredients, HelloFresh delivers right to your door, which is great for me because I don't like leaving my apartment to do anything that's not comedy related. You can skip the trip and have it all brought to you. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. For somebody like me, it's perfect because I don't like to cook a lot. And when I do, I want it to be easy and, you know, not take a long time because I'm always on the move. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone, from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time to somebody like me who just makes soup and Pop-Tarts. HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients, which is big for me and should be for you because fresh ingredients is how you should be living. Healthier, measured to the exact quantities needed so that there's no food waste. HelloFresh also employs a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it is nutritionally balanced. All this shit is delivered to your doorstep in a special insulated box for free. I already got my box. I gotta be honest, it was crazy how well packaged everything was. Still so fresh. You know, it was on my doorstep for a couple days and everything was perfectly intact. And you know, which is why we're letting them be a sponsor. Because they're the shit. And we only want to throw stuff at you guys that we back. And HelloFresh is that. Now, if you want to start your first week of deliveries and get $35 off that, visit HelloFresh.com right now and enter ALN when you subscribe, and you can start eating healthier, smarter, tastier, and more awesomer than ever before. That's visit HelloFresh.com and enter ALN when you subscribe to get $35 off your first week of deliveries. That sounds great! That's because it is, guy who just came into my apartment with a weird voice. Sleep. I love it. Love sleeping a lot. Love sleeping comfortably. That's why I sleep on a Casper mattress. Yeah, baby. Look, the mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you, the consumer. Time magazine called them one of the best inventions of 2015. Why? Because Casper mattresses, which both Brad and I have and fucking love them because they're dope and comfy as shit. The sleep surface was developed in-house. It has a sleek design and is delivered in a small, hey, how did they do that, sized box. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers an adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. But how did they do it? An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper mattress. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams for a sleep surface that's just got the right sink and the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool, so it helps regulate your temperature through the night. That's so dope. Look, mattresses, most of them cost $1,500 and up. Casper mattresses cost $500 for a twin size, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, and $950 for a king. That's incredible. Start sleeping better and start sleeping better now. So go to www.casper.com/ALN and use the code ALN and get $50 off towards any mattress purchase now, all right? Free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. If you don't like it, all right, you get a free return and a 100-night home trial, all right? So they'll pick it up and refund you everything if you don't like it after 100 days, all right? They understand the importance of sleeping better and, you know the commitment that comes with a mattress, especially if you're going to sleep on it for a third of your life. Go to www.casper.com/ALN, use the promo code ALN, and get $50 off towards any mattress purchase. And start sleeping better, baby, because you deserve it. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. What up? Happy Monday. Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a great weekend. Had a great weekend of shows in San Diego. Thank you to everyone at the La Jolla Comedy Store, the staff, everybody, all the ALN fans and new ALN fans that came out. What a blast. Sandy Danto, Frank Castillo, my boy Avery Pearson came out. We did some music. We jammed. One of the best clubs in the country. Always a good time. It's just good to get out of L.A., you know, get some San Diego beach life up in this. And thank you for all the emails and tweets you guys have been sending about past episodes that you've loved. So many great moments from the Wayne Brady, David Steinberg, and Jason Drulo episodes. Keep those coming. And seeing those five-star comments and ratings on iTunes, if you haven't done so yet, go to the iTunes page, type in About Last Night. If you're not subscribed, subscribe, and then click the fifth star and comment on the iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts. Also, want to thank you guys for listening to me as a guest on You Made It Weird, the Pete Holmes podcast. Of course, Pete Holmes, giant comedian, has his own podcast, You Made It Weird, which is a top comedy podcast. He's had on just the best of the best, and I was lucky enough to be a guest on it, and it was a really fun episode. As Pete says, one of the silliest and most fun episodes he's done, which means a lot because he's a beast and such a cool guy and so fun to riff with. We got so silly. It was great. We made it weird, as the podcast suggests. Pete, of course, has been a guest on ALN. If you haven't heard him on that, go back and listen to it, and I know you'll love it. Speaking of podcasts you love, today's episode is another just fun-filled laugh fest from top to bottom. Our guest is Mad TV's Piotr Michael. That's right, baby. We're going to start a nice little run of Mad TV cast members from the new Mad TV that I was a part of. Piotr is a fascinating dude. Not only is he a master impressionist, like our boy Jonathan Kite, which we do not let him get away without doing multiple impressions. He does Donald Trump, he does Bernie Sanders, Jeff Goldblum, George Lucas, Doc Brown, Steve Buscemi. He does people that a lot of impressionists don't do. And he was so generous to riff and just be silly with us on this one. Piotr's story is pretty fascinating too, just where he came from and his journey into the business, how he found cartoons as a way to become interested in doing voices. His journey to almost getting SNL is a really unbelievable story. And it eventually got him to L.A. and how he started doing stuff for Howard Stern. It's just a great interview. Piotr's an amazing dude, a sweet dude, and it's just a fucking entertaining episode. So enjoy this one. Follow Piotr on Twitter at This Is Piotr, P-I-O-T. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, at Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, at ALN Podcast on Instagram. Of course, all the ALN merch at StoryMerchandise.com is where you can get that. Hats, shirts, mugs, posters. We're going to start selling a bunch of signed posters, so head on over to EstoyMerchandise.com and pre-order your signed ALN posters, baby. And bring that merch for us to sign or take pictures with in your ALN shirts or hats to our live shows. Brad Williams is on the road. He's on the road a bunch right now. He will be in Albany, New York this weekend at the Albany Funny Bone, October 13th through the 16th. Go see Brad Williams at the Albany Funny Bone in Albany, New York. Get your tickets at funnybone.com. I will be in L.A. this week doing shows. Check my website, adamraytv.com. Of course, I'm headlining Flappers in Burbank October 28th and 29th. Get your tickets at adamraytv.com. And then I hit the road for pretty much all November and December. So get on over to adamraytv.com. I'll be coming to Erie, Pennsylvania. I'll be coming to Salt Lake City and Ogden, Utah to do Wise Guys. I'll be doing Magoobies in Timonium, Maryland. That's right, Magoobies. And, of course, the Tempe Improv over Thanksgiving. The Punchline Comedy Club in Sacramento, December 1st through the 4th. The Comedy Club in Webster, New York, December 8th through the 10th. And then I'm doing a hometown show in Seattle, Washington, December 23rd, the Friday before Christmas at the Columbia City Theater. Which I'm really pumped about. And then Vegas for New Year's at the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana. So all those dates at adamraytv.com, bradwilliamscomedy.com for all his tour dates. We'll be going on the New Kids on the Block fan concert cruise next week, which we'll be doing live pods from and just absorbing all the chaos that is that that cruise. Of course, you guys heard me break it down on the cruise recap last year, and now Brad's going to come. It was a blast for me. I don't know what it's going to be like for this guy. I can only imagine double because even though he's half the size of me, I think he's going to have double the fun. So be on the lookout for those eps. And I think that's it. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's the merch info. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Piotr Michael.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams
It's about last night.
Yeah, because you wanted to stand out.
Well, I wanted to
just
be my
a little
own.
More fun. Yeah,
because I'm like, I'm going to be interviewing my friends who are up and coming comics, which is like, that's fine, but
yeah,
unless I have
a show like this. Today we're sponsored by Hornitos. When you're horny and you want something Latin, drink Hornitos.
And your best friend Itos help you finance the drink.
See? We can drink. We can have a lot of fun.
I would jump in, but I'll just sound like a Speedy Gonzalez character. Which is also fun. Out of all my favorite racist cartoons, that's got to be right up there with my favorite. I mean,
where do you think he got the inspiration? Like, I'm going to go across the border.
but my favorite part of the Speedy Gonzalez racist universe was his friends that were like the slow mice. Oh, Speedy,
you're so fast.
Hey, the pussy yes. gato is a cheese, and cheese is like 3 feet away. We
Don't
can't
worry.
Get it, Speedy.
Don't worry, I will get it for you.
Cartoons had to have been an early influence for you, right? For voices?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For me, I did. All I did was watch Disney Channel and Looney Tunes growing up, for sure.
Yeah.
And my dad studied animation at UCLA, so it was all
over the
house. Yeah, yeah. He always
So he was watching it from and having a complete different appreciation for
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the film study equivalent, but of cartoons and animation, because it's an art form on its own.
Yeah.
And it just became a part of my life every day. And so, yeah.
And then,
cartoons were there.
Yeah, because you moved a lot as a kid.
I did move a lot. I was born here in California in Santa Monica Hospital.
Okay.
And I lived in Malibu for 3 years maybe in Decker Canyon.
Okay.
And is there any way I could get a little bit louder on my headphones?
Yep. Sorry. How's that? Keep talking?
Yeah, I'm going to keep talking a little bit more. Yeah,
ooh, more?
I like the sound of my voice.
That's is that you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. That's okay, good. Yeah. Thank you. So I lived in Malibu in Decker Canyon, which was like a funky little shack house for about 3 years. And after my sister was born, she was the third kid. We moved to Cleveland, Ohio.
From Malibu to Cleveland.
So my mom's like,
what happened?
My mom said, I'm sick of the traffic and I don't want to live here. I want to live anywhere else but Los Angeles. And my dad said, great, Cleveland.
And when did you ever forgive your father for that sentence?
No. I love Cleveland. I love Cleveland. He was born in Ohio.
Okay.
And he was a basketball star in high school.
No kidding.
And from there, he went on to UCLA and played for John Wooden.
Wow.
No so, shit.
Yeah, yeah, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and all those guys.
He was on, what? He was on that team?
Yeah.
My favorite story of that time was that the Bruins had just won the national championship. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, then Lew Alcindor, agrees to go to the school and plays for the freshman team because that was the rule. You couldn't immediately join varsity until your second year. The freshman team with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar beat the returning national championship team in the opening scrimmage.
Yeah.
Like, that's my favorite because it was like, oh, holy shit, these guys are good.
Yeah, and John Wooden started, tossing out his net and catching every great player coming up and put him on his team, and they won, 14 consecutive
something
years
like that.
And then 16 total or something like that, but crazy. And my dad went to UCLA, and that's how he did that. But so I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio for about 8 years, and then from there, Taos, New Mexico. And I moved because my mom said, I'm sick of Cleveland, Ohio, and I want to move somewhere.
Anywhere,
there's not enough traffic.
There's not enough traffic.
There's not too much, but there's not enough.
She's like, I'm inspired by vagina paintings and George O'Keefe. So she wanted to move to Santa Fe.
Yeah.
It was too expensive, so we moved to Taos, New Mexico.
Yeah.
How far is that?
My dad lived there for a little bit.
That's about, really?
That's about an hour and a half.
Wow, there's a connection.
Yeah. That's what he was a doctor in Taos.
Oh, really?
He was like the doctor in Taos.
What year?
This is recent. Like, he 2 years ago, he was there for 3 years.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't there.
No, you weren't there, but yeah.
Is Taos the kind of town where the same guy that's the doctor is also the mechanic?
He worked at Baskin Robbins. Okay. He was a doctor. He did the dry cleaning. He voiced the...
Speedy Gonzalez. Yeah.
Hey, Speedy.
You got too many jobs, man.
You got too many jobs.
Fix my car.
I don't know how you do it.
Hold on, I'm finishing this burrito. I have to make it for the clients.
You know who's got the best burritos? Trump Tower.
Trump Tower has a lot of great burritos, by the way. A lot of great burritos. Did I mention that this tequila I'm drinking is hitting me pretty quick? So I'm gonna put it a little further away.
Okay.
Slow down.
Now, Donald, do you like to drink the tequila?
I love all tequila. I love all tequila, by the way. Tequila is the drink that unifies so many nations, you wouldn't believe it. You would not believe it. Trust me. I have had so many drinks with so many people in tequila. Tequila's great. Tequila is sweet. It comes from agave. Agave. Agave's great. But we're going to put a border around Mexico only so they could stockpile great tequila, and then we're going to send it over the border. That's the only reason, people, because I just want to see a real big tower of tequila bottles, and then they're going to drop you. We're going to get them for such low prices, you're not going to believe it. You're not going
to
believe it.
Piat did, I took the cast to Universal Studios, right?
Yeah.
Thank you again. That was so much
fun. The best.
Yeah.
And we all had some little tasty edibles at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And Piat gets like next level stoned. To where it's just like...
No, you just saw me when I'm stoned. Have you seen me when I'm stoned? Yeah, I guess.
But that was like you were just in a great space. Yeah. And then at one point, I go, you got to do high Trump.
It was
and
so
hard. And he tried to do it. And he just...
Is that,
let me tell you, people.
But then you go, I'm in a better wall, but it's going to be a while. And then you started just laughing.
But the whole thing is about, like, when you get high, you become hyper aware of what you're doing, but you can't say it. And, oh, God. But also the one time you did the stand-up show at the Improv.
There's a teen tour group
there. There was, like, a group of teenagers from high school that came to see your show, and out, and I was a little loose. And you're like, hey, he's from Mad TV, do Donald Trump. And I was the same thing.
Just pimping you out.
I got to do it. So far, there's been a group of people who've seen only me high publicly. Like, that guy, how did he get on television?
I'll tell you how. He's a master impressionist. He's a great actor.
Master impressionist. I paint a lot of paintings, by the way. Van Gogh. I know how to pronounce
his
name.
That's not a painter, Trump.
He's a dotter. He makes dots.
Dippin' Dots?
Dippin' Dots. Dippin' Dots are great, by the way. Especially if you lay them out on a painting, let them melt. That's a painting right there. Right there on the canvas.
See,
instant painting. This is Trump copywritten, by the way.
I love watching great impressionists because then I learn things about the impression, and I didn't learn until watching you just now that he certainly does say, by the way, a
by
lot.
The way. Excuse me.
Yeah.
By the way. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm borrowing catchphrases from my dad that I created, because my dad, he sort of sounds like he's got a very theatrical voice.
Mm-hmm.
He talks like this, almost like John Malkovich, perhaps. but he has lots of pregnant pauses. Mm-hmm. And his catchphrases that I created were, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. He said that once, but it was just something that caught on, and I would just egg him on all through growing up with, excuse me, thank you.
Does he do voices himself? Like, where did you get the voice?
Oh, absolutely. He doesn't do impressions, but he does a lot of characters and such. He studied theater. He wanted to be an actor his whole life, and he lived in Europe for 7 years as a street mime and clown.
Oh, shit.
And he worked with masks and puppets, and that's where he met my mom. My mom was traveling with a group of high school girls.
Everyone knows chicks dig puppets.
Yes.
Everyone knows
dick
that.
Chicks puppets. Guys, get into it. Come on. Jeff Dunham is ahead of the crowd. He's popular for a reason, people. I kill you. Chicks dig that.
Chicks dig puppets.
Because if you can manipulate a puppet, you can manipulate a woman. Am I right, Brett?
Magic fingers. Absolutely.
So my mom met my dad, who's in complete makeup as a mime.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, brought her into the crowd, interacted mm-hmm. with her. And then a couple days later, he was on his way out leaving Poland forever to go to France.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was walking past the train station and recognized him without his makeup.
What?
Oh, she's clever.
And the rest is history.
Then 9 months later, Little Piot came out.
Little Piot. No, we know how
big Piot. Big Piot. I have got very big hands, by the way. Huge hands.
Huge
hands. These hands were so big. I was actually born cesarean.
That is true. I was born cesarean.
Nice. I love it. That's actually true. She's got a big.
My hands were born cesarean. The rest of my body, natural birth. That's how big I was.
They dislocated my hands.
Yes.
They cut them. They put them back together. And let me tell you. These are the best cybernetic hands you've ever seen.
I've got the best cuticles money can buy.
Money cannot buy the cuticles that I have.
You know what's so funny? When we auditioned for Mad TV, I remember meeting you on the, group
we
got together.
Yeah, we did the preamble to get ready.
It was basically
when
they were like, hey, here's the eight that we want, the producers and the showrunner, and we're going to present this to the network. And I remember meeting you there because you weren't.
Because everybody's kind of sizing. Oh wait, well, yeah, everybody's.
You weren't
sizing
around because you had kind of got picked first, right?
Mm-hmm. I was picked about a month before, and I don't know what the logic was behind it, but basically they said we needed
a Polish guy.
Oh, yeah, we need a Polish guy. The demographic.
Everyone knows.
Yeah.
How many Polacks does it take to make a comedy show? At least one.
Yeah. With an unpronounceable name, we got to make sure. But we got to make sure his stage name is Michael, so he speaks English. That's a good thing.
I love that network exec voice.
Yeah, right. Of course, this guy I used to broadcast for radio, but now I'm an executive of the CW network.
Your executive is very Jeff Daniels-y.
Yeah, come on.
Jeff Daniels?
Wait, you Jeff Daniels?
Bridges,
I'm sorry.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. This guy, Piot Michael, he would be great on the Man TV cast, man. And hey, what are you doing, man? Don't pee on my rug. Smoking doobies, man.
So I met you, and I was like, immediately, Stern came up, which I immediately was like, oh, this guy's the shit. And then you just kind of like, what was so great so quickly, and about everybody, there was this like very chill ego check at the door, like funny's funny. Let's all just be funny together and make each other laugh and not. But immediately you started like doing a voice and a bit, and I was like, oh, I like this guy. Because he was
I
just
can't
like.
I remember what I was doing.
It was some. You might have done Goldblum pretty early on to me.
I know I was doing a lot of Donald Trump because Amir was. I think he said, like, you do Donald Trump?
Yeah.
And then I got into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're very generous with your. I mean, because I would assume, and Brad backed me up, but maybe if you were like a really great impressionist and somebody was like.
What do you mean if?
All right, give him your three. Give him your three.
Let me tell you guys something right here, man. Brad Williams,
Barry Katz,
is one of the most fantastic impersonators.
Listen, man, listen.
This guy has so much talent crawling out of his ass. They bottle it up and sell it. Adam Carolla can't even match the products that he creates, man.
I tell you what.
Holy shit moments,
holy
man.
Holy shit moments.
If you
want
to talk about holy shit moments, you have my man Piot. He can do any voice.
He's half otter, half urine, Piotr. This guy is so fucking amazing.
He looks like an Eastern European Pete Sampras, man. But he can
I
do
told
any
him
voice.
When he first any voice. Met me. First thing he said to me, he's like, you got to do impressions of me, man. I was like, no, I'm not going to do anything. And I actually never shared an impression of him until David Salzman, producer of Mad TV, forced me to do it for him.
Which is wow.
Yeah, so just a couple months ago.
You and I both have the Barry Katz connection.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Now, when I heard you do Trump, I was actually in the back. Before we went in for the test, I started thinking of like other things to do, and I go, God, maybe I should do, and I didn't know what impressions you did at this point, let alone that I found out pretty much all of them. And then I'm like, I should do a Trump. And then when I start to work on it, I'm in this room for about 10 minutes trying to like figure something out. And I'm like, I don't do it. And my voice is just not, I can't even, whatever it is, it sounds like an impression of somebody else's. And then I walk in there and I go to Bruce. I go, hey, man, I'm just going to do like a Trump. And he goes, oh, Piot does Trump. And I go, Oh, great. A, because I can't do it. And B, great. Yeah. We need a Trump on the show.
Yeah.
And
then you need a lot of Trumps. I need body doubles. What if I get shot?
But I want to know, because it's obviously, you had the impression before Trump became, I mean, I guess Trump's been Trump for years, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just now
ever
he's
ever since Home Alone.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you haven't seen the screenshot? He was in Home Alone. Home Alone 2.
He's in the hallway. He bumps into.
That's right.
McAllister, he comes up to him. He's like, hey.
Where's your parents? What does he say?
Where's Tim Curry? About money or something like that?
Yeah. He's like, I don't know.
To get that boy.
Tim Curry?
Nah.
Yeah. Mr. McAllister, where are your family? McAllister.
He's the only guy who looks like a fucking Grinch.
Tim Curry?
Yeah, that one scene where he crossfades into the Grinch. I'm like, forever in my mind, he's like the walking, living, breathing Grinch face.
Yeah, that was amazing. But did you do a Trump? I mean, when did that become a part of your repertoire?
So, I mean, like, Trump wasn't as interesting to me because he was on Celebrity Apprentice and I didn't really watch the show. And, you know, he was just, a guy on a show. And every once in a while, because I would do voiceover all the time, you'd be asked to do certain things in cartoons or say, this guy sounds like a Donald Trump type, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of did him, but I didn't focus on his mannerisms or anything.
Yeah.
But I was working for the Howard Stern Show for about a year, and I was doing Bernie Sanders on the show, and they would fly me out there every other month just to hang out and do stuff live with them.
Jeez.
And then they asked one time, they said, do you do Donald Trump? And I said, oh, I
can figure it out.
The answer is always yes.
So
figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. When they ask if you can do something, you always say, oh, yeah, I can figure skate.
Absolutely. Wow. I can juggle upside down with knives. I can do that. How much money? $200. That's enough.
Wait, real quick. You would say yes to figure skating?
Yeah. I've said yes to everything. When they say, oh, by the way, this character is going to be doing like some like gymnastics type
You've
things.
You've learned
like,
well from me, Fred. Absolutely. You yes. Tell him yes, you will be circumcised by tomorrow night.
Then you call up the rabbi and let's do it.
Absolutely, man.
That's what you do.
I'll do that adult film. I'll grow my cock 12 extra inches, man, whatever it takes.
Whatever it because takes. I tell
I'll
you
sew
what.
On a black dildo, paint it pink.
If you say no to the black dildo, there's eight other guys out there.
12 other guys who are willing to paint their black dildos pink.
Absolutely, man. So you got to be willing. How much do you want it in this business, man?
Do you want to hit home runs or do you want to hit foul balls?
Who do you want to be? Do you want to be Gary Carter, or do you want to be Mitch Williams, who gave up the home run, man?
So Barry,
how do I know that?
Barry, what I'm pulling from this conversation is I need to buy a pink dildo and name it Mitch Williams.
Now you got it, man.
Suck it, man. I'm so high. I hear an echo, man.
When I worked with Louis C.K. and
C.K.
I represented him. Yes, he didn't make it until he got the pink dildo, man.
Because of me. After he left, he found success, man. He felt there was a void, so he worked his ass off even harder.
All right, so you do Bernie Williams
Bernie Williams, the Yankee?
Bernie Sanders.
I did Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
Because I would call on the Howard Stern Show and I'd say, hi, blah, blah.
And the thing was like...
is it so weird that when I hear that voice, I don't even think Bernie Sanders. I think Larry David. Like,
I have to say, please.
I'm forgetting his catchphrase.
pretty. Yeah.
It's pretty, pretty, pretty good. I have to say that this goulash is pretty good. It's pretty good.
So they have you go out there for Stern.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I would do Stern Show, and I did Bernie Sanders. The thing was, I wanted to do more of Bernie Sanders because I was so excited about it, but Howard didn't really want to acknowledge Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
He was like a Hillary supporter, and he was just like, he would always, also the thing that was they couldn't figure out Bernie's joke. Like they couldn't find the hook about him.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They're like, well, they were just making fun of the fact that he was old and forgetting things.
Yeah.
Because like everything he said, he was like, yeah, I kind of agree with that. And then later on, they're like, okay, he's like crazy socialist is what they hooked onto. But so they wouldn't feature him a lot. So I was like, I want to do more of Bernie Sanders. And so once I was able to do Donald Trump, then they're like, well, we're just going to put more Donald
yeah.
Trump.
Yeah.
And at first, we didn't really hit Donald Trump hard because Howard is friends with Donald.
Mm-hmm.
But after it just became absolutely evident that Donald Trump is who he is, then we're right. like, okay, floodgates are open. We can't deny what he's said.
Yeah.
So we basically regurgitate what he said and. You know.
Well, and that's the wonderful part, or the scary part, all at the same time, about Trump and being a comedian is you don't really have to exaggerate anything.
Yeah, and
you just kind of say what he says, and that's enough.
I mean, on Mad TV, by the way, they make so much fun of me. This is crazy. This is so crazy. They say that I don't believe it. I would never say those things on Mad TV. They made me do things that I would never do in real life. I would never create an elementary school. Never.
Is that sketch aired? I have no idea.
Trump Elementary.
Also, part of the trouble was with Mad. They're like, what are we supposed? We're trying to find an angle
right
for the thing, and that's always the trouble is with impressions. We want to try a new angle with somebody. In
sure,
thing.
Because can you do a walk-in? Yes, everyone right. That's like their second or third impression right. that they learn. But what's your take on it? What do you bring?
I
like the subdued one, the one who's kind of quiet, doesn't talk much.
Mm-hmm.
Not the wow. That's
the one everybody does. Yeah. I like the one that's very he's had some tequila. He's in a relatively warm room. And it kind of veers off.
See, my walk-in is a variation of, but a little too high, it's maybe.
It's okay. You got to add age to the guy.
See, that sounds exactly fucking like him.
The problem is so many people do me. That as I do them, I love podcasts. You can't see my face. I'm closing one eye.
You are doing that.
Wow. No, the trouble with impressions is they can be so funny when they're cartoonishly exaggerated.
Yep, sure.
But when they're dead on accurate, they're like scary that it distracts people.
Right. You're almost
Barry Katz told me this. He's like, Piot, when you do an impression, hold on a second, Brad. When you do an impression, man, it's like a girl at a rock concert takes off her shirt, shows off her tits. Everybody looks for 3 seconds, and then they go back to the Goo Goo Dolls. Because he's like, your jokes have to be funnier than your impression, which is absolutely true.
Yes.
And I've learned that so hard when I would do stand-up, because I'd come out and do,
hey, guys, it's me, Steve Buscemi. And people were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That impression, because that's not
nobody
one that you see.
Nobody does Buscemi.
Yeah.
Is the name of your memoir.
Absolutely. And let me tell you something. These teeth are what got me a lot of work.
And so people would be like weirded out for the first 15 seconds, and I wouldn't have any jokes to go with it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't necessarily bomb, but people would just be like,
they're like, I know that's great, so I'm clapping because it's great, but I'm not.
And then I'd come
laughing
off stage and people like, dude, great voices.
Mm-hmm.
But they never say I was funny.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that tore me up.
Yeah.
It tore me up bad.
Yeah, I know.
How long,
at what point did you realize, that you needed to turn those voices into real funny bits? Because, like you said, it's one thing to be there doing mimics, but then when do you decide to go, now it's time to be funny and bring it?
Well, I was extremely shy.
You were, as a kid.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And my dad, he's very encouraging. Both of my parents are very encouraging of what I do, and all they ever did was support me. And my mom's an artist, and my dad's, theater background and animation, and he really tried to push theater on me, and I didn't want to do it because anytime I showed any excitement for something, he wanted to be involved.
Mm.
So later on, I kind of figured out, I just felt like I wanted to develop or discover something on my own.
Yeah, not be forced into something.
So I really got attracted to animation because I'm like, I can kind of hide, I can be quiet, nobody's looking at me. But then I realized animation is fucking hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you have to draw well, you have to draw well consistently, and it takes so much time. And so I still love animation, and I draw all the time. But then I got attracted to voiceover, which was an extension of animation, because all the guys that I respected from cartoons once you find out it's Mel Blanc, you're like, holy shit. So around 2007 or so, YouTube started getting some traction. Mm-hmm. And I had lost 60 pounds. I was a little overweight. I was like 210, and I went down to like 140. And I was skinny for the first time. So I'd look in the mirror and be like, who the fuck is that guy? Like, I didn't recognize myself.
That's interesting.
So, what was it like jerking off as Fat Piot versus Skinny Piot?
Fat Piot was like, Skinny Piot was like, yeah.
Wow, that was almost like a Liam Neeson threat.
I will jerk you off, but you will come. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I'm going to do to you.
Oh, shit.
But it's because I am a dead arm, and I feel like another person.
Hey, Brad.
What's going on, Adam?
I got some exciting news.
Holy crap, they're making a Mighty Ducks 4?
No, but now I'm just really upset that they're not.
Oh, they should.
Brad and I are back doing exclusive episodes of the About Last Night podcast on TuneIn.
That's right, and these are episodes with just Adam and myself. No guests, just us hanging out, shooting the shit, updating you on our lives, and most importantly, being funny.
Yeah, the OG way, the way this podcast got started. We took a little break, but we are back doing exclusive episodes, just Brad and Adam. And you can get these episodes where, Brad?
You can get these exclusive episodes on the TuneIn app. That's Woo! Right. Just download the TuneIn app. TuneIn spelled T-U.
T-U. T-U what?
T-U-N-E-I-N. Download that TuneIn app. Type in About Last Night, and you can get these exclusive episodes. And remember, they're only on TuneIn. They are not available on iTunes, our website, or anywhere else. Just TuneIn.
That's why it's special. That's why it's exclusive. Continue to enjoy this amazing episode of the About Last Night podcast with me, Adam Ray.
And me, Brad Williams.
So YouTube first came around, and I would do animation, and I would put like these little animated videos on YouTube, and nobody would watch them. Mm-hmm. And then I saw like some people started doing like impression videos, and I would do impressions like here and there, but I never thought anything about it. I was just like, oh, everybody can do impressions, right? It's a thing everybody could do,
I guess.
Then I realized not really. And so my first impressions were Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, Austin Powers, Emperor Palpatine, and Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Like, those were the only guys I could do. I was really attracted to the old, creepy, scary men. And,
that was the Emperor before he becomes...
The prequel. Yeah. I find that one much more interesting because he sounds like such a perv. He said, my young Skywalker. Yeah. Like that, whatever, fuck that.
I like the one that's like the very airy, like, oh, Anakin, oh, I seem to have dropped some of my belongings on the floor. Won't you bow down with your Jedi robe and let me see your asshole? The dark side of your anus.
I think I rented that. By the way, Brad geeking out so hard right now.
Yeah, of course.
Like Star Wars?
Dude, of course.
Does he like Star Wars?
I mean, that's my thing.
Does he toss drinks to himself with his feet courtside at Lakers games?
Yeah.
What about Harrison Ford?
Oh, my God. How does Harrison Ford do you?
I mean, probably very forcefully. Probably forcefully does me. I mean, he's Han Solo.
No, but I mean,
take what he wants.
Where does Han Solo rank as far as for you, Star Wars fandom? Like hearing a Han Solo versus a Obi-Wan impression.
Well, it's that very few people. The same reason why a lot of people would freak out when you do Steve Buscemi. Not that many people do Harrison Ford. So when you do it, it's like there's this is something new. Like everyone does a Yoda impression.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But no one does the Harrison Ford.
What's funny about the impression community is that when you hang out with a lot of impressionists or know a lot of impressionists, they don't like you do Harrison Ford, and then you know seven other people who do Harrison Ford. But to the rest of the world, they're like, oh my God. And to you, you're like, no, that guy does it better.
But I'm not going to tell you about him. Right. Well, I think that kind of happens in a lot of communities where, whether it be magicians, whether it be comedians, like we all know each other. And we know what each other are doing and what we're working on. And we're playing a little game of can you top this? But then the other people aren't really plugged into that community. So it's all fascinating to them that anyone does those
and
movies.
I love it because I still geek out about things and animation and behind the scenes stuff and actors and But yeah, YouTube was the thing that helped me. I started sharing videos, and I was like, nothing's going to happen.
Impression videos.
Yeah, I would just do impression videos. And the thing that I did differently was there was a fad where guys would do 100 impressions in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, and they would just be like, those aren't impressions, those are sound effects.
Right. Well, that's also Angela Lansbury before she goes
to bed. Of course.
Like,
and so...
so you would do the...
Lansbury, distracting me over here.
Goldblum's kryptonite, Angela...
Bastard.
Angela Lansbury.
God damn you, Angela Lansbury. Murder, She Wrote? I don't think so.
Goldblum. Wait, Jeff Goldblum coming out and does a show where he just contradicts everything Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury is not old. No. She's dead. Dead walking corpse. Oh, God.
Goldblum's so crazy because it's one of those impressions. Like, Jay Moore says he has to study to do an impression of Russell Brand because Russell Brand is so smart that he can't just improv it. Like,
there are those impressions where it's really fucking hard to connect. Like Vince Vaughn, I cannot do Vince Vaughn to save me, but our mutual friend Jonathan Kite is an amazing Vince Vaughn.
One of the best I've heard,
One of the greatest.
And it just, I guess it lives in his register, you know? That's part of it, and then...
But he also has the information to back it up, which makes it such a strong impression, you know?
Yeah.
That's the key, is like what Barry's saying, show the tits, you gotta be better than the concert. So,
Because like you could probably do the voice, but then you literally have to have a ton of words, sentences, and
you
need stuff to actually talk about, and especially with an impression like Vince, that where you're talking so fast, it's tough to do that sometimes.
I mean, you could do that if you had a set that you memorized and went 1,000 miles an hour. That's, you know, that just takes time, but to just knock into it and go real fast.
So what would be on these YouTube videos?
Oh, so I what I did differently was I wouldn't do 2 second impressions. I would try and do a 30 second, 45 second, or a minute impression, actually like a little mini scene or like a joke, a little arc for each guy.
Yeah.
And I released the video and no attention, like whatever. But I'm like, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I released a second video and then it was featured on the front page of YouTube.
Whoa.
And it got like hundreds of thousands of views. And then I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So I just kept making videos, got more traction, and then from there I just got into a habit, and I did for about a year before NBC contacted me. Mike Shoemaker over there at Saturday Night Live, he's like, hey, do you want to audition for SNL?
Whoa.
And I'm 20 years old, and I'm like, okay, this is fake.
And
so at this point in time, I've been living in Hawaii. So after I moved away from New Mexico, we moved away again. My mom wanted to be poor in paradise. So we moved to Hawaii. And at this point, we were on the Big Island, which is a very rural island. And so I was very nowhere near the showbiz community.
Right.
So NBC, Saturday Night Live reaches out to me. I'm like, what the fuck? This is fake.
Yeah.
Because you would get like spam emails from YouTube accounts all the time. I'm like, fuck this. But the guy, I looked him up, I'm like, Mike Shoemaker. I'm like, holy shit, it's NBC. It really is him. And so he said, send in an audition tape. So I go to my dad. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I watch audition tapes. And so I'm like, okay. So I sent 36 impressions, and I edited it down to 6 minutes.
Whoa.
Damn.
Sent it out, and I was like, I don't know. I'm like, wow, check that off the bucket list. I auditioned for Saturday Night Live. How crazy is that?
So you're not even thinking. You're just like, there's no way.
Oh, there's no way.
You're in Hawaii this time.
There's no, yeah, absolutely.
You're so far removed.
I'm in the attic of my house in my underwear because it's so fucking hot. So
nice.
Anytime
keep going.
So, so I take off my clothes and I whip out my black dildo and paint it pink. And good God, did the paint fall off?
Now I know what Jeff Goldblum have an orgasm sounds like.
Everybody.
I could have died having never learned that information.
Or is that him getting spooked at a haunted house?
I read there's this Goosebumps game called Adventure in Horrorland, I think. It was like a video game where they're actually like videos of the characters in front of green screens. It was on the PC, and Jeff Goldblum played Dracula. And it was perfect casting. He like, I am Dracula. Come. It was perfect. Perfect. So anyway, NBC, I sent the audition. I'm like, fuck it, nothing's going to happen. But I was so excited. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Sent it. A week later, I get an email. Mike Shoemaker says, loved the audition. Can you come to New York tomorrow? And I'm like, I live in Hawaii. Because I'm like, I have no idea that they have money and they can send you out and all this shit. I'm just like so naive. I'm like, I can't pay for this. I'm like, what hotel? And he's like, no, no, no. We'll fly you out. We'll pay for this. I'm like, okay. So he said, we'll fly you out. We'll pay for it. And can you come out tomorrow? And I said, can you give me an extra day? Because at least I had the knowledge to know, like, you need to fucking prepare.
Right, shit. Get something together.
And I'm like, you don't ask, you don't get. He wants me there Tuesday. And he's like, okay, we'll fly you out Wednesday. You audition Thursday, fly out Friday.
Great. More manageable.
Oh, yeah. But still, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this. And so he actually, Mike Shoemaker, talked to me on the phone, and we whittled down some impressions and whittled it down to about 20 impressions. So I'd literally have...
That still sounds like a lot.
Oh, fuck
so he was so impressed. He's like, Jesus Christ, there's a lot to work with.
But also to fucking do that having never done, five-minute audition
never put
and
together
kill.
A set.
Oh, yeah. It was like, basically a stand-up set.
Yeah.
So all I did was, I'm like, I can't, I don't have time to think of jokes. So I just wrote just bizarre lines. Not lines from their movies, just like weird things and observations.
Sure.
And so it was like 10, 15
Harrison
seconds.
Harrison Ford at a Cupcake Factory.
Right. I could really use something sweet.
You know, just like that.
Can I be honest? Great. I love
that. Fantastic.
And so they flew me out there. I went to 30 Rock. I was like scoping out New York because I got there the day before, and I was just so excited. I'm like, oh, my God, this is crazy. I go back to the hotel room, riding the elevator. There's Kyle Dunnigan. And I'm like, oh, my God, I know you from Comedy Central.
So funny.
I love you on Reno 911. And he's like, oh, yeah? Well, guess why I'm here? I'm like, why? I'm testing for your SNL. And then I turn to him like, me too. And he gave me the biggest, like, fuck you face. Because I'm like 20 years old, and I was just kissing his ass. And then he's like, he was all like gloating, like, cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know him personally, but – you know, he just kind
of
like weird.
Of course,
weird,
I would. Right. Yeah.
Wouldn't you be weird?
Yeah,
I
was like kids, like, sure, what's up, man? You're like, cool, man. Yeah, you're
I'm just you're, for us, and I'm
exactly. You're outing yourself as like such a like wide eyed. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah,
I just walked in the building and they said, "Hey, you want to be on TV?"
Wait, the guy from The Simpsons is what you sound like. Where it's like hand stamp for re-entry.
Wait a minute, The Simpsons.
Oh, what? What?
Ooh, donuts.
What?
Oh,
so he,
no words, just sounds.
No words.
Yeah.
So I went to my hotel room and I had a whole maybe 12 hours before my audition, and so I keep going back to Jeff Goldblum. That's my natural. So I might as well keep going. So what did I do? Oh, so I just went over my set like 20 times.
Of course.
Yeah.
I just went over. I wrote it out. Just went over 20 times, just so I just had it in me. And I was so fucking nervous, I took like 12 showers.
What?
So like I would rehearse my set.
As every impression?
Yeah, of course. I wash you with the eye. I don't use conditioner when I'm Jeff Goldblum.
But I certainly do when I'm the dude, man.
So
you were just like, I need to, like, I mean, you had no.
I was so nervous. I just had to do something. Like, I couldn't jerk off. I couldn't drink. I was just like, I had to find things to do.
Also,
I was so fucking freaked out.
And a lot of people, comics, that we know who've gone out there when they're going to test, they run their sets at comedy clubs. You're 20. You've never been.
I have no manager, no agent. The only one that I have to guide me are my parents. We're just like, you can do it. You're going to get the show. You're going to be great.
Yeah, just nonstop encouragement. Sure.
But also I had naivete because I was like, I'm going to get the show because I'm here. You know?
Why would they have me out unless they...
I don't have that anymore, which is the craziest thing. When I was there, I was like, I could fucking do anything. And I was so confident. And I was still scared out of my mind, but like the confidence of like, I know I'm going to get it.
Wow.
And so I practiced went to audition, and I mean, I'm sure you guys heard SNL stories, but they put you in different groups because there was 20 people auditioning. There's upstairs and downstairs, 10 mm-hmm. people upstairs, 10 people downstairs. I was upstairs with James Adomian, Nick Kroll, what's his face, Paul Rust, and John Mulaney, and then a couple other guys who I can't mm-hmm. remember. And at this point, I don't know who the fuck any of these guys are.
Right. Yeah. They're not who we know right. them as yet.
Right. And I'm just like, who are these? And they all knew me. But this is within 2 days. They all knew me. I'm like, they're like, oh, you're the Hawaiian guy. I'm like, what? How the fuck do you guys know this shit?
Right.
This who's is been crazy.
Who's given you my prep sheet?
Yeah.
What's and happening? I'm like,
so that weirded me out. But I was focusing on the audition.
Because you were an undeniable force, man.
Absolutely, man.
They all knew who you were.
I was guiding you before you even knew it.
and then Nick Kroll did his audition, came upstairs. He's like, dude, fuck, man. I don't know what happened down there. And he was talking to John Mulaney or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I went down there while they're having their lunch break. Stage manager said to go on stage. And no one was there. And Lorne Michaels was like, what are you doing here? Get out. And then he did his set, and I don't know if he bombed, but he said it was funky. And I was like, oh, my God, he had a weird set. Fuck. Mm. So I was freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. And they tell you, like, nobody's going to laugh. Nobody's going to laugh. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So I prepared my set so that it would just be like, you know, machine gun. Because nobody's going to laugh. I'm just going to go as fast as I can.
Yes.
And just get in as many impressions as I could. And I go downstairs. So we're like upstairs in the main room for an hour. Then they take me to a couch, like a green room, for half an hour. Then they put me into a dressing room by myself for 15 minutes. So they put you through all these things. And I realized later it's probably like part of their process also to like psych you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe unintentionally, who knows?
But I mean, it's a high pressure job. So they want to make sure that you can perform under high pressure situations.
Can you handle the elements? Yeah.
But the thing that chilled me the fuck out was the makeup and hair people. They're like, oh, Dolly, you so sweet. Oh, my God, how old are you, 12? And I was like, yeah. And I also had long hair.
Time to live out your fantasy, baby.
Yeah.
Live out your fantasy, baby.
And they're like, oh, I love your hair. It's so beautiful. I said, you sure you don't want a haircut? And I'm like, no. And I had, like, long, crazy Hawaiian hair.
Yeah.
And so I go in to audition. Stage manager's like, okay, you're going to step on the mark and go there and just, you know, stand and talk straight to the camera. Don't wait, just go. So I go stand out there. First thing I do, I stick out my hand and I go, great Scott, Marty. And the people, and Mike Shoemaker says, nobody's going to laugh.
Yeah.
Everybody starts laughing. Like crazy laughing. Seth Meyers is rocking back and forth in his chair.
What?
He's like the only guy I can make out. Everybody else I couldn't see. I didn't see Lorne Michaels, but I saw him probably because he was moving back and forth in his chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the fuck? And it threw me off.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because they were laughing, it threw me off. So the amateur thing that I did was I brought my impressions and wrote it on an index card and put it on the stool.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it helped me or they noticed or whatever the fuck, but you know, you don't do that. I put my list of impressions on the stool because I totally forgot. I was just like, I was so thrown off. Like, and I just looked at the stool. I'm like, all right, next one, Louis Black, fuck the subway, you know. And I just went into all my impressions.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're laughing and like 80.
So they're still laughing.
Oh, yeah. And okay. About 85% of it hit. Like people were laughing at most of the stuff.
I feel like that's a good percentage.
Yeah, but also I had no idea. This is the first time I'm on camera. The first time I'm doing impressions publicly. The first time I'm
is your
doing
Saturday Night Live.
First time you're in New York.
Yeah. And then so I do it.
First time you're taking 12 showers and not jerking off.
Yes. No conditioner, by the way. And so after I get off, you know, they laugh and whatever. I get off, and the stage manager like grabs me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was freaked out. I'm like, oh, shit, maybe I wasn't supposed to come off. And he's like, that was amazing. Fucking amazing.
Your stage manager is Louis Black?
Yeah.
Fucking amazing. You should be on The Daily Show with me. We should make some comedy. And it'll be good. You fucking Pollock. And so I got off the stage, and then I was like so green. I was like, oh, the stage manager says this to everybody so that they don't feel bad. That's I get it. And I go upstairs and I'm just like sweating, just freaking, but it was, you know, endorphins crazy.
Yeah. Sure.
Stay there for another hour waiting. Then they finally let me go and I run down, to the elevator and then I hear, wait. And I turn and there's a 65-year-old page, you know, wearing the suit and the peacock. And he's like, wait. And I was going to hit the elevator button and he presses the button and he's like, I wanted to serve you. I'm like, what? Okay. I'm like, did he like what I did or he just really likes his job?
I really love touching buttons. It's my favorite. It's the only thing that gets me going.
And then so I had so much endorphins, I didn't take a taxi. I just ran 10 blocks to the hotel because I was freaking out. But anyway, long story short, sorry to keep boring you on.
No, this is great. No, it's fascinating.
So after that, not much happened. But the day after, I had I met one of the executive managers from 3Arts. He found out about me.
Yeah.
He just emailed me. He's like, company. Hey, I heard you audition for SNL. You want to meet up? And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? He's like, I represent Alec Baldwin, Tina Fey, and
Amy Poehler, Aziz Ansari. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So I met him for a bagel and left. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'd love to represent you if you get this because I heard you did really well. I was like, wow. And then I got a text from Mike Shoemaker said, amazing audition.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And I was like, I got this.
Yeah.
That's a lot of yeses in your head.
Yeah, of course. So I fly home, and I'm totally green. I have no connection with people. I can't talk to a manager, and he can't check in with people.
So you're like venting to the stewardesses and like passengers on the plane, like, I'm going to be on SNL. You might want to sign my tits now
but
have me sign your tits.
In my head, I was like, yeah. And so I went home, and I was like, a couple weeks passed by, and I'm like, they'll probably tell me, you know? And more weeks passed by, nothing. Then they made the public announcement. Bobby Moynihan joins the cast, blah, blah, blah. So then I figured, like, okay, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, the gentleman thing to do is send a message to Mike Shoemaker, and I said, thank you so much for letting me audition.
Yeah.
That was an amazing experience. And he wrote back a really nice email and said, I'm going to pass your tape around because you were amazing. And he did, and people found out about me, and then that's how I got a little buzz about me. And then
is that how Stern happens?
No. Stern came later, but from that, people were aware of me, and then about a year later, I think I got with Barry. And the rest is history, man. I got him a job at a shoe store. I got him a job as a photographer. And he was so successful in those jobs.
Is that real?
Okay, I don't know. You got to do stuff to pay the bills.
He got those jobs, but I'll take 10%.
Selfishly, I'm very glad that you didn't get SNL because then you wouldn't have gotten on Mad TV and I wouldn't have gotten to meet you and become friends with you. But also, like, hey, man, you know, I'm pumped to be on the show and I love our cast, I also love that I'm very thankful that, you know, we have somebody that can just knock out so many great impressions and also bring stuff that's, I mean, dude, doing the Buscemi is like, no one on SNL has ever done a Buscemi. And you do think of it in those terms too, where you're like, you know, and even like Daryl Hammond, who I love, like him doing Trump, it's a different, I'm not going to say it's better.
No, it's just
comedy subjective. Yeah. I do think yours is better, but it is different, but,
He's tapped into a comedy that works for him, that he finds that, you know, when he puts on the makeup, the suit and the pose, people start laughing before he even says anything.
He's got such a great presence.
He's got that lip pose that Trump has,
And so it works, and then the audience totally connects, and they
go, that's enough. I get it.
And he's found his thing, and I definitely.
But you know what? It's just amazing that, and I didn't know that about you. That you auditioned for SNL. B, that it was essentially the first thing you ever did.
Oh yeah, and the thing that's crazy is like, if I got that job, I probably would have been fired after 6 months.
I would have died.
I would have cried. And so, like, part of me is like, I'm kind of glad I didn't. But what it did was it became such a huge highlight of my life that I said, okay, this animation career that I really want to get into, I think I'm going to focus more on acting and comedy. Because if I can go from my underwear to Saturday Night Live,
yeah,
yeah,
what happens when I actually add some perspiration behind what I'm doing?
Yeah. Right.
And 8 years later, man.
Is it, what did you think when you auditioned for Mad TV and when you got it? And I just want to hear, like, your experience so far.
Okay.
From, I mean, just because it is a, from all the work you've done and all the, just the countless amount of voices and videos and, you know, and just the work that you've put in, it had to have been a, like, big, oh, hell yeah, right? Like a validating. Yeah,
absolutely. And so I started getting a lot of work through voiceover, mm-hmm. and for me that's always been a dream of mine.
Well, sure, going and watching the cartoons and everything.
Yeah, cartoons, and so I'm like, this is fucking great. I'm actually in movies, but I can't get credit for it, but still I'm geeking out. And it's a great paycheck, and I'm working, and I studied at the Groundlings for 4 years and did improv comedy and did stand-up here and there. And I'm like, well, I'm doing it. I'm happy
with
what I'm doing.
You're in show business.
I'm okay with this.
Making
doing okay. And so what happened was I would audition for things here and there. I auditioned for In Living Color. What was it? 3 years ago when they had that.
Right.
And I got into the final rounds with Keegan Ivory Waynes, who would coach us all and say, you're gonna do this and that. And I didn't get that, but I went to the final. So like, I would always get these little clues like, no, I have it. I have it. I just need to have the opportunity to get there.
Right. And you keep getting asked to do these things. So obviously you're doing something, right? And you have a valuable commodity that these known entities like Saturday Night Live and Living Color, they want you there.
Yeah, yeah. And the greatest lesson I learned is the more you fail, the more you realize that you just need to relax.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would go in with so much pressure behind me like, I have to get this show, and you'd never get it.
Yeah.
But when you go in relaxed, going like, I'm just going to have fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm probably never going to see any of these people again. I'm going to say a bunch of, maybe I'll even say some untasteful jokes and see what happens just to fuck with people.
Yeah.
And you book the job.
Yeah. You know,
it's crazy.
Totally true. The last part I got was one where it was a last minute audition, didn't have really time to read the material, and just kind of went in like, well, I'm just going to go nuts with this. I'm not going to get it, so I'm just going to have fun with it. I had a lot of fun in the room, and then I get the call, like, oh, yeah, you got the part. You're like, wait,
and
what?
and it's the classic story, and it keeps repeating itself. My buddy Ross Marquand plays Aaron on The Walking Dead, and he had the same thing. He was going to leave L.A., and he went, and they're like, Walking Dead audition. He's like, I'm not going to fucking get this, so he didn't really care. He put in the work but didn't care, and then got the fucking job.
Yeah. Right.
And it happens all the time with people. But, I mean, you know, different stories for different people. Some people work their ass off, and then they do get the job. But for me, it was like I just went in, and it was the first audition I really went into just so relaxed, where I was just like, I'm just going to have pure fun.
Yeah.
And just fuck around. And, you know, Barry's like, you got to have a tight 5-man. And, of course, it was like, longer than that.
Yeah.
And that's always the one where, like, when they're laughing their ass off, don't leave. Just keep going.
How do you get to that place, though? Because, everyone's approach and journey is different, obviously. But, like, it is easier said than done to just walk in and go. Like, my mom says it all the time to me. She used to quote Michael Jordan. She'd go, even when I was in, like, ninth grade and I'd have a big basketball game the next day, and she'd be like, Michael Jordan just always said, fuck it. I was like, all right, well, I don't know if that's like a direct quote, but like, she's like, no, I read it.
Nike.
I read something. Yeah, fuck it or do it. Maybe it's fuck it and then do it.
Just fuck it.
Do it. Yeah, just fuck it. Mom, that seems a little aggressive.
I love tequila.
So it's like to just have a free, like, go in, whatever happens, happens. Because even I tried to have that same approach on my, because I had to test twice. And the second time, I definitely upped the ante in my head as far as stakes. But I also got even more confident because I was like, oh, I'm going in with a completely different set that I think is better than what I did. But there were still definitely like the nerves that creep in that go, what if – like where I would be very confident and comfortable to go, you got this. But then like creeping in was, don't fuck this up. Like this is on you and what if you don't? And then it's – you have to silence that. And it's human nature to – again, just easier said than done. So how do you get to that place to where you're just fully
honestly, comfortable. I couldn't, I can't explain it because it just happened. You know what I mean? Where it was, part of it was last minute, like you said,
sure.
where it's like, you know, I got an audition for you, man. Next week, you're going in. I'm like, fuck. Barry was so amazing because he would stay up with me three nights in a row till four in the morning. From like 11 to 4 in the morning, and we'd write stuff for this audition, and I'd pass things to him, and he'd be like,
yeah.
That sucks, that's hilarious, you put in a dad joke here. And it was great, and he really worked his ass off
yeah.
for me.
And then
and I appreciate
kinda,
Barry so much yeah, more because
kinda
of that.
Yeah, you kind of see that, and you kind of makes
like,
you step
right,
your game
and,
up, too.
Right, of, absolutely,
you
because
you
I'm like,
disappoint him.
He's working so hard for me to get on this show.
Right.
I've got to work hard, too. But it just got to the point where I'm so confident with the impressions I was going to do that that I was relaxed.
Yeah.
And also, one of the things I did in the back of my mind was I said, if I fuck up in mm-hmm. anything that I do, I'll just go back and do Trump.
Gotcha.
So like, you had, I'm like, yeah, you had that I'm like, I have net. A fa- I had yeah. a safety net where yeah. I was like, if something's dying, I'll just go and comment on myself. Like,
isn't this guy horrible? By the way, this guy's a loser. is he from Poland? What the hell kind of name is this? Pajota. He's a crazy name, by the way. We should change his name. His manager suggested he change his name to Peter Katz. Peter Katz. Who doesn't like cats? I love cats. I've got 20 cats in my Trump Tower, by the way. I don't feed them. We got a little maid. She feeds them. Yeah, she feeds them. Margarita feeds them. I love margaritas, by the way. By the way.
That is literally an impression that you could just get lost in.
It's unreal.
It's like Jeff Goldblum where yeah. You can say random shit and it's just fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, what a great, and I don't even want to say crutch because even you stepping out to yeah. comment on yourself, you still have to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You have to be aware.
In context yeah, yeah, yeah. and articulate.
Yeah, yeah. But also, yeah, you need to know when the give and take.
You can't just stop from an audition.
Isn't he horrible? He's so stupid. Like that would
yeah.
be. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
If you force it.
But the thing was, I did the audition and didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. But, and then I had a meeting with the producers and writers that were, you know, I sat down and it was supposed to be a, you know, 15-minute meeting and became like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
That's a good sign.
This is a yeah. good sign.
And then Mike Shoemaker calls and goes, you didn't get it. This isn't even your show, man.
It's like, Mike has had a camera on you for the last 8 years. But yeah. Then
so when you got it, you were.
I did the meeting and then I went and did the network test. So the mm-hmm. entire Mad TV crew was behind me. They said, we want you on the show.
Yeah. Don't fuck it up.
Don't fuck it up.
And Jeff Bridges again, man. We want you on the show, man. And the CW is a.
So I had to prove myself to the network
yeah,
alone.
Sure.
But also that's scary because they're like, you're doing a network test on your own. Normally we would do this with other people and you do scenes and stuff. So I was like, I had no idea what to expect. So there was added pressure because they were all booking out an hour of their day or whatever, half an hour to prepare for me to come in, do my 5 minutes. They talk amongst themselves and yeah. then, you know, go. So there was added pressure. I'm like, I am physically changing schedules for 25 executives.
Wow.
You know, that's kind of weird to think about.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought about.
I literally could listen to
you. But I knew right away that the key to get me on this show was my beautiful teeth. My teeth have got, now I'm turning into Donald Trump Steve Buscemi. Hold on a second, people. Hold on a second. Oh, I'm going to build a wall so big.
But, Steve, you're so weak. You don't have muscles.
No. Well, the muscles, you don't need muscles. You hire muscles. That's why there's a term, you hire muscle.
Mm-hmm. But then, Steve, if you build the wall, that keeps out Antonio Banderas, and then you never work with him again.
No. You build a wall around the country to keep everybody in so they can't escape you. And they have to be your friend. And then they put you in your movie, and it's great. That's how I have a really great career, by the way. Now it's all melding.
Does that ever happen where yes. you start and you go, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And that's also when I do stand-up, I'll have to make sure that my impressions back and forth have to be contrasting.
Yeah.
Like if I do Charlie Sheen and then I'll do a Nicolas Cage – sometimes they'll just morph into one.
Mm-hmm. Like, duh, oh my God, this is freaking crazy. And then Charlie Sheen. And I'm like, fuck, Nicholas. And I get lost.
Yeah.
And it's not good. So you have to, like, y'all have to find something in between. Like, okay, like, duh, Charlie Sheen. And then the dude. Yeah. And then Jeff Goldblum. And then Ian McKellen. And then, you know, so you mix it up.
Facially, too, that's got to be a trigger, yeah. right? To however your face contorts or conforms.
Right.
Is there a way that you do you have like a system for it's like okay if Mad comes to you and says all right you have to do this Arnold. Celebrity this character Arnold whatever do you have like a process of going through it?
I've done it enough now that I know when somebody gives me something I can be like I probably can't do that.
Really?
Just because I'm like it's going to take so much work to do. Mm-hmm. That by the time I finally get it down, it's already passed. Or sometimes gotcha. They'll give me a character. I'm like, I've never heard of this guy. Oh, I can do him. Yeah, I know. Absolutely, I can do that guy.
Yeah.
And it comes from me doing so much voice matching and voice work where I listen to a guy. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. No, I'll pass. Yeah, I can do that. No, I can pass. Because there's some people in your register that you're just like, I can't do that guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes you're like, okay, I know I can do that guy based on his mannerisms alone.
Interesting.
Know? Like I know, Adam, you were assigned to do Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
And you did an amazing Baldwin because you started focusing on the mannerisms and then the voice came.
Yeah.
That's what I felt. Honestly,
that's exactly what happened.
Where it's like you're focusing on Alec Baldwin's suave and then it just sort of came. And then
and the cadence of it. Oh, and then all of a sudden the voice started. Yeah.
And if you watch yourself doing it, it's fucking Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. And the thing is, like, you also did Pitbull. And
yeah.
Did you ever do Pitbull before?
No.
And it's
they put down you're doing Pitbull. And that's, quite honestly, is one of the cool things about the show. I mean, you know, where it was like...
It's fun to have those challenges.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck, man. And I immediately see it.
Create
I go,
a character now!
I go, I'm doing Pitbull? I go, yeah. Shit. And then I watch enough things and I go, all right, what is... And my initial instinct was like something kind of like that, you know, what kind of like, you know, unidentifiably Latin or Cuban, you know, maybe, you know, and laughing.
Oh my God, Pitbull, you're hilarious.
Thank you, Jimmy Fallon, but you know, like, the real thing is like, I'm Mr. Worldwide, like, Mr. 305, but like, I like to dance, but I also like to like hang out and have chips with my friends, sit on their couch, try out the lazy boy.
You're so vaguely Latin, I love it.
Crazy, I'm Cuban, Pitbull. Though.
And the thing is, fuck it if it's accurate. If it's funny, it's fucking funny. So that's like Daryl Hammond, where it's like he may be able to do a dead on Trump.
Yeah.
But he I don't know if he's phoning it in or he's just like, no, this works enough for me. This is the joke I want to tell.
Sure. And the classic example of that is
I'm Donald Trump, and I gotta say that this is a very beautiful podcast, by the way.
Oh, thank
it's
you,
great.
Don. Thanks I'm for gonna, having.
So it's like that's a different version of Trump.
Yeah.
You know, that is a very sellable Trump that's used in shows, and I've seen comics do it all the time, and it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, because the classic example of that is Dana Carvey doing George Bush.
Right.
That's not
a
good impression of George Bush, but he just sold the fuck out of it.
He found a line that he said maybe once or didn't even say.
Yeah.
And
one time he said,
on,
not going to do it. And then,
not going to do it.
Yeah. And then held on to that.
Yeah. And it went on. And then everybody mimics his George Bush.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And also finding
because it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not because it's accurate. It just becomes so fucking funny that it becomes part of the lexicon, so people accept it as reality. Then they watch real George Bush, like, what?
They're like, why aren't you saying not going to do it?
Yeah.
Not going to do it.
Yeah. You're supposed to say wouldn't be prudent.
I wouldn't be prudent.
By the way, Piot has, if you have my number, which I'm not about to give out, because we did one time on a podcast. And I can't remember which one it is to go back and take it out. And there's a person, and he's probably listening right now, who every now and then will text me, and I don't respond.
What, you never took it out?
What's that?
Well, we don't know where it is.
I can't remember what episode it was.
Someone went back and, like, listened to an old episode and found it.
Oh, my God.
And then just,
you know what it was? It was like when we had, and we're going to have you do this at the end of the episode if you don't mind, but there's a Thai restaurant that I enjoy ordering delicious food from. And I'm not going to give him a shout-out. Because that would ruin the prank.
Yeah.
But we have people who do amazing impressions.
Yeah.
John Kite did it. Ari Spears did it.
Yeah.
Jeff Richards did it, where we prank call them in a so at the end of the podcast, says we're going to close. Yeah. And I don't feel bad because I've given them a significant amount of business.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do they have the best Tom Cow? Wait, Tom Kite coconut chicken?
Tom Kite. That's a golfer.
Do they have? Look, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's fucking delicious.
Okay.
Anyway, so I want to know, is there, like, when you do Goldblum, right? Yeah. Do you think about, like, you did it for my voicemail, and people think, straight up, everybody who calls goes, how'd you get Goldblum for your voicemail? Mm. Do you know that it is uncanny, as that it's, like, sounds exactly like him?
The thing is, I, like doing the impressions for Matt, part of the reason I also, like, say I can't do an impression of somebody if they give it to me is because I want it to be as accurate as possible.
Yeah.
But that's dangerous because I know it's, like, you shouldn't, and I'm getting better at it. Where it's just like, just focus on being funny. But I can't help but try and make it as accurate as possible.
Sure.
And so when I'm not accurate, part of me gets angry. But I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. And Donald Trump is the first for me that I found, like, I can just play with him, and I don't have to focus on how accurate it is. And yeah. I just, like, I chose Podium Trump, which is. He's like, get him out of here. Get him out of here. He's a Mexican. Throw him out.
But that's my baby, sir.
I don't care. I love babies, by the way. My daughter Ivanka is a baby. I held her.
There's pictures of me holding her.
She came out of my two golf balls. You wouldn't believe it.
No, so for like Jeff Goldblum, I have had people say to me like, oh my God, he's amazing. Like, the one you're doing is exactly mm-hmm. like him. And I'm like, I don't know. And I really appreciate that. And I'll never feel that I'm exactly that guy. But I feel very comfortable and I enjoy doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Is it?
And the reason I say that is because when I do voice matching.
Yes. And for those who are listening that don't know what that is.
So voice matching is when a voice actor has to go in to replace a existing celebrity or actor because they're unavailable, or it's for a trailer, or a promo,
right.
or just a missing line.
Yeah. So, for instance, when Matthew McConaughey does a movie, and then they don't get a line exactly right, and they don't want to fly Matthew McConaughey out from Texas,
or pay $55,000 for 25 minutes.
Right. Then they call
a guy for $900.
Then they call Piot.
Yeah.
It's like, do you have Papa John's pizza? Because I'll do it for that.
And, so like, they'll send me the reference, and I'm like, oh, Jeff Goldblum. And I did something for Independence Day Resurgence, and I listened to Jeff Goldblum, and I did Scratch for a trailer. And I listened to his voice. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm way off.
Really?
Really.
Yeah. And it happens to me all the time after I do an impression that people say it's amazing. So part of it, you know, I do always reference back to the material of the original guy as mm-hmm. much as I can, but I'm starting to let go and just have more fun because Mad TV's really helped with that, where it's like, you sure. have no time, so fucking do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
The chaos
just have fun.
Is strong
yeah.
on that show.
Yeah. And it really helps you as a comedian because you're like, you don't have options. Just go and go with what's written out and just play the best part of that and improvise and have fun.
It's amazing how much you can surprise yourself when you force yourself into those situations where someone says, we don't have time for you to get this
yeah.
quote unquote right. You just need to do it.
Yeah.
And then you just fuck it. Okay, go. And then just amazing things come from that.
Yeah. And but what you're saying with, do I realize Jeff Goldblum is good?
Mm-hmm.
I first did when I did an independent film. And my co-star that I was in, she said, oh, I'm best friends with Jeff Goldblum's wife. Will you record a video as Jeff Goldblum so I can show her? And I was like, sure. So I sent it to her. And then mm-hmm. in between filming, she goes, yeah, she showed it to Jeff. He thinks it's hilarious. And you sound just like him. You should go hang out with him. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yes.
But I'm still so freaked out because it's so weird. I've never met a person besides Barry that I do an impression of and meet yeah. them. Because I feel Jeff Goldblum would be the only guy who'd be like, very good. Yeah, yeah. I saw one. Let's go into the shower and not use conditioner.
And talk to each other.
Well, because, I mean, like, Adam got to do Danza on Danza,
yeah,
where
yeah,
he
yeah,
got
yeah.
to do
yeah.
Tony Danza, do Tony Danza. Like, I would pay good money to have you
I would
Goldblum on Goldblum.
a lot of money, man. And it might be something that, you know, when I get fixated on certain things, like I don't not make it happen. And
we got Jeff Goldblum locked in a closet. You got to do an impression for him.
He's here right now, Piotr.
And help me, somebody call the police.
It's roomy in here, though.
Oh, very nice.
You and him, in some fashion, like doing a, whether it's not just an, maybe it's you interviewing him as him or whatever, but like that would be. Or maybe it's just you have the same voice and it's two guys having dinner. And maybe it's Goldblum's best friend who just happens to also sound exactly like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's that Jimmy Fallon thing where he used to do where, you know, he'd do like Keith Richards, you know, talk to Keith Richards in the mirror, you know.
Right. When you can do impressions that well, just the sky's the limit for creativity in terms of what you can do with it.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's really open doors, and it also leads to original characters, which is also crazy. Because on Mad TV, they said you're the impressions guy. We want to focus.
Yeah, how did that? How'd you take that?
So, well, I mean, I completely understand it, but I also didn't want to get pigeonholed. And what was really interesting was Frank Caliendo, who was the impressionist on Mad TV. He reached out to me, and we started connecting and texting back and forth. And he was telling me like, you know, really fight for it and get your impressions out there, but also like let you stand your ground and try to get some other stuff. And I've been able to do some original characters on Mad TV, like Buford, the old judge police character. Like, now hold on, Sombrilla.
Yeah.
That guy is so much fun for me because there's no rules. And
yeah, you can make him up as you go.
I can make him up, and that's so much fun to do. But the gift I have is that by doing so many impressions, I can easily do many characters because I just tweak impressions.
Sure.
Take out a mannerism, add a mannerism, add age or anything. So, for example, let's do who's somebody that I do? Come on, Adam.
Throw him out. Liam Neeson.
Okay.
Liam Neeson. Mm-hmm. Now, if we just make him a little bit slower and we get rid of his Irish accent and then we make him part of the Old West. Now it's Liam Neeson trying to sound like a Western cowboy.
Right there is just a slightly different character, right?
I mean, screw you, Morgan Freeman. I want that voice to narrate my life.
Well, hold on now. Morgan Freeman is pretty good at doing some narrations. Now, Brad, have you ever dressed like a penguin? Because I think you might be the perfect size.
Wait, narrate Brad trick-or-treating dressed as a penguin.
Here's Brad. He's a little too old for Halloween, but that doesn't stop him, because he's got a sweet tooth. It's 9 p.m. The children are going home because it's nearly past their bedtime. But Brad has just started his night. Pouncing up and down Hollywood Boulevard, entering every candy shop he can find, he scores big time because he's dressed like a cute little penguin. And chicks dig penguin dick.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's fucking great.
But like I learned to do Steve Buscemi because I did Austin Powers for so long, which is like the biggest cliche impression everybody did.
Yeah, but also you got to do that impression to start to wet your palate and get conditioned to going, oh, I can mimic shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like I learned like I could do other characters. So it was like, yeah, baby, very shagadelic. And so I started playing with the idea of like, what happens if I take away his British accent? Yeah, baby, now I'm sort of turning it to Mike Myers, which is cool. That's awesome. I could do Mike Myers. Mm-hmm. And then I get rid of it and make it a little bit higher. And then, wait a minute, it kind of sounds like if I add a little more teeth there, then this is basically Steve Buscemi.
Oh, my God.
Wow. From like, Austin Powers
baby,
to Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, baby. Very shagadelic.
Oh, my God.
Austin Powers 4 starring me, Steve Buscemi. I'll also play Dr. Evil.
Dude, that transformation, that is what, and that's what separates you, man, because to have that just
and that cognizance, that control
and the wherewithal to start to play with it and pick up on an impression, and like you said, man, to not, you know, overly assess and judge yourself to go, oh, don't do an Austin Powers. That's so cliche. Like, no, no, no. I can do that, and it's good to know I can do that. And now what can I shape out of that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's rare, and that's why you are
Thank
where
you,
you are.
Thank
you. Do you prefer doing impressions or original characters, or do you just like, you just like them both?
I enjoy doing voices.
Yeah.
So if it's an impression or a character, to me, what really makes me happy is when I'm not myself.
I was going to say, do you like your own voice?
No. And that's the reason I started doing a lot of impressions was my brother, when I was 18, he got me a microphone and because I was really interested in voiceover, and I really got to hear my isolated voice for the first time.
Oh, that's always scary.
And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Now it's like even this, I'm putting on almost a smoky voice. Okay. Let me try and do my normal. My normal voice is kind of like this. Like,
yeah.
Like when I'm at home with my girlfriend, I'm like, this is how I talk. It's almost
like you're George Lucas.
Like, well, hold on a second. It's you know, very interesting that you say that because George Lucas is me.
Did you laugh, Lucas? I couldn't tell what that was. Your mouth barely opened.
You're
choking on a Tootsie Pop?
That's what I call my wife. She's of darker complexion. She is black. Too much tequila, not getting an authentic George Lucas, so I'm sorry, Star Wars fans.
That's incredible.
But I have no idea what we're talking about.
We were talking about your own voice.
Oh, yeah, my own voice.
You heard it from the microphone. Yeah.
So I heard it on the microphone. I'm like, I don't like this. So I would automatically change my voice. And but now, I mean, this is my confident voice. This is the projected voice that you do. And I would study audio. There was like these audio books about confidence. You know, like your people will be shocked when you first speak with your confident voice. They'll disregard you and ignore you and say, that's not really who you are, but you have to stand proud and say, that's what I sound like. And so...
Oh, shit. By the way, if you know, say people will be shocked when you talk with your confident voice, yeah, because they'll be terrified if you're like, hello, stranger that I have never met before.
I would like to order a number 4 on your menu, the menu behind you that you are standing in front of.
And yes, no tomatoes on my sandwich, I tell you. If I find a tomato... Oh, I will burn this mother to the ground.
This tomato
will be a no.
Asiago on the side. What am I, an asshole?
You always have to have like a confident laugh.
we have two more requests before we wrap this up. This is one because I watched your Oscar tape. Where you did all the impressions of Celebrity Guide to the Oscars. And one of the impressions that really stood out to me was your, and you briefly did it so far in this podcast, was the Ian McKellen.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Ian McKellen.
Yes. Now
it has been a very long time since I've seen Hobbit. But I must say that I do love your big feet. And you know what they say about big feet.
Big shoes, right?
Big cock.
One of my favorite moments in podcast history was when Ian McKellen did Marin's WTF.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He does a Shakespeare sonnet at the very end of it.
And Mark Maron's like, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it was so great because it literally wasn't until he did that I go, oh, a great Shakespearean actor could really make you understand that crazy language.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you really get it. So, much as a great Shakespearean actor can make you understand that language, I was wondering if a great actor, Ian McKellen, could help me understand the language of Kanye West.
Do you want me to read some Kanye West?
Yes, some of his please. Tweets, if you
I
don't mind.
I shall read it with great pleasure, my dear boy.
Yeah. That part right there, if you can look at that. This is an actual tweet from Kanye West. Actual tweet.
Exes can be mad, but just know I never let them play with my ass. I don't do that. I stay away from that area altogether. You shall not touch my ass.
Oh, my God. All right. One more. How about that top one right there?
Have you ever thought you're in love with someone, but then realized you were just staring in a mirror for 20 minutes? I have to dress Kim every day so she doesn't embarrass me. You know what I'm saying, player? I'm from the streets, y'all. Yo.
Oh, my fucking God. Son of a bitch. Now I have a great understanding of Kanye West, so thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, by the way, that's when... you're also doing a set on Amir's show on Friday, right?
Yes. When is this podcast coming out?
Not until after that, but
okay, it went
fantastic.
Yeah, but Amir K is kind enough to have me do some stand-up.
Yes.
On his show. And the thing is, like, I haven't done stand-up consistently a lot because I've been focusing on other things. So I'm kind of excited and nervous. But I'm like, you know what? I just like to play. And so I've got some things planning to do.
Can I suggest doing some of that?
Absolutely.
Reading Kanye tweets as Ian.
Yes.
Suggested by my good friend, Mr. Brad Williams, who is a living, breathing hobbit. I will read Kanye West, and I need to put on my spectacles.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to do that.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be great.
All right, and our last request, and again, this has been amazing. By the way,
I knew we
scheduled and rescheduled, but I knew when
we
got locked in, it was going to be. There was a few times when we had it, and then we were trying to do it after our Mad TV live tweets, and it was too much.
The audience loves this, by the way.
Yeah,
tell us when he canceled. And the text that followed. What did this manager say?
Can you, as Christian Bale, can you get mad at us for canceling on you?
You fucking toots. Fuck you!
I don't want to yell in the mic.
but you have to yell. It's Christian.
You get your fucking license.
I haven't done Christian Bale in a long time. Hold on. No, tequila. You should not have made me have tequila. This is the problem I've learned.
One little glass, huh? You tiny Pollock.
Hey, I didn't need to. I didn't need a lot. Let me get angry at you, Harrison Ford. You stay away from my kids.
What about Harrison Ford doing stand-up?
So, a bear walks into a bar, and he says, "Can you get me something chewy?"
Sir, chewy bar, like a chewy oatmeal, like the Quaker Oats chewy bars?
That was my joke. I give you permission to laugh. No.
Oh, man, thank you guys for having me.
No, this is the best. Brad's pulling up. All right, the number of the Thai restaurant that I like to order from.
Yep. So do you want me to place an order? We hang up? What are we doing?
We're going to call... as soon as they call, we'll hand you the phone. You hold up to the mic.
What impression do you want me to do?
I initially thought Goldblum, but I got to be honest, I think Buscemi ordering from this place is... Or Trump. Fuck, I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, my God.
Do you think Trump is too on the nose? Because it's funny for us to know that it's Steve Buscemi, but would he know Trump, or should I just fucking go, let's do it. Whatever you want.
Let's start with Buscemi and see how they respond. And I think going to a Trump at the end of it, I think, could be kind of great.
Yeah. If Trump wants to interrupt and say, "No, I wanted pad thai," then fucking go for it. Yeah, whatever you
want.
All
right, man.
All right. So here we go. Here. I got to come over there and hold it for you.
Okay,
so
perfect.
Thai food, right?
Yeah.
A business Thai place. Come on.
Nothing, man. This is what happens to me all the fucking time. Nobody ever wants to talk. Hello?
Yeah, we close already.
You're close? Oh, my gosh, but I'm starving.
Okay.
Can I have any food? Do you have any leftovers? Maybe something that you threw away I can just, put in a box or something?
No, the chef go home already.
Oh, you went home, but oh, come on. Hey, what would you suggest that I order tomorrow? What would be good? You guys open for breakfast like in an hour or something?
Yeah,
11:30. 11:30? Oh, that's too late. Come on. Can you open a little bit earlier for me? I'm really hungry. I'm going to starve to death. Your place is the best place. I love all of your food. You guys serve the Italian meatballs, right?
Okay.
Hold on a second. My friend here wants to order something too. Hold on. Excuse me. Hello? I know you guys are closed right now. You fucking
call
hang
back.
Up on
call
me.
Call back.
Hold on a
call
second.
Back.
Hold on a second.
Call back.
We're going to close this business down for real, people. I'm going to buy this place out and close them. And they're never going to be open for business again. Because these assholes.
Donald really wants his diaper.
They'll pick up again. They just picked up.
Yeah.
They couldn't have closed that long ago to have to field, to finally pick up to say we're closed. Pick up.
She's like running out the door.
She's like, fuck this guy. The guy want me more make more spring roll. Fuck the guy.
I know. I give him plenty of biz.
Yeah, at least he's picking up now. No.
This guy, I know him from the Howard Stern show. I'm a big fan of Howard Stern. This guy, fucker asshole. I want to go sleep. I work over 17 hours for today. I sold 12 spring rolls.
Well, we got him on the phone.
Yeah, we got something. We got something.
You always have to come back.
Yeah,
we'll do it. We'll do it again. We'll do it again.
Pierre, you're amazing.
Thank you.
Thank
you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. This is real fun.
It's really cool to, I mean, our business is way cool, but it's like what's really dope to me is to get the opportunities to like be on a stand-up show or be on an TV show. Just something where you're in a position to get to like meet more amazingly talented people. And it's like, dude, who knows when our paths would have crossed or if they would have.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. Just feel very blessed and pumped.
Well, can I say one thing before we end?
Yeah. Sure.
I met Brad Williams.
Ooh.
I don't know if you remember this. Years ago, Brian Monarch had a show at the John Lovitz Club.
Yes.
The John Lovitz Club. Universal Studio City, whatever the fuck walk.
How is Spencer Sherman? It's still closed. A Jew?
It's closed now, so fuck you.
You didn't come out. You don't get to see
You didn't come
me.
In. But I still made money. And I fucked tens.
Brad Williams,
what
I
did
was
hosting.
Brian Monarch was like, hey, man, you should host the show. And I think it was like the first time I hosted.
Oh, yeah?
And I was MC and I was doing impressions, and all the comics were treating me like shit because they're like, this guy's fucking weird. Like every time I would bring someone up, they'd be like, this guy's fucking weird. This is a weird MC. What a fucking weird MC. Mm-hmm. Then you came.
Oh, boy. What did I do? I'm always scared.
No, I lowered the mic for you.
And yeah.
Our headliner is Brad Garrett. Yeah. I mean, William. And then you came, and then you like talked for like 2 minutes. You're like, nobody ever does that for me. Nobody ever lowers the mic.
Yeah.
And you're like genuinely happy. And I was like, oh, I made.
Yeah, well,
made him happy. That's
because
cool.
Everyone's happy. Do coins pop out of his head now?
I got a lot of coins, by the way. Those coins, I still have them. They're collectibles. I didn't clean them. They're still covered with shit.
Well, that's a big deal, though.
First of all, I'm glad because whenever someone says, I met you before, and you, I'm like, oh, God, please say I wasn't a dick. Please say what, like.
No, never.
No, you're super nice.
Well, and that does make me happy because so many times comics would bring me up and then leave the microphone stand exaggeratingly high because I'm like, oh, yes, it's a great bit. I have to fucking
and
jump.
And you always save it, yeah. And you obviously always make a bit of it, but it's also like. Let me be the first one to make something funny, right?
How about my joke be the first thing that's good?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always – and so it's like, okay, so with all the pressure that comes with being a stand-up comedian, how nervous you are and getting the audience, I'm like, great, now I have to, on top top of that, lower the mic stand
but
so
I'm
I can
sure
do my job.
But I'm sure you've got material to do.
Oh,
like fucking giant over here, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's something as a dwarf is kind of like Dwarf 101.
Right.
I mean,
you
learn how to lower mic stands right after you learn how to cobble shoes.
You know, all right, Brad, you can tell jokes about yourself, but that's too far. Especially when it's half past midnight. No, but I just wanted to say that that was,
awesome.
The first time I met you, and I
oh, good. Well, I'm glad I wasn't a dick, and I'm glad that we now essentially wear the team. We fly the flag of Team Cats.
Cats Power, man. Cat Power is actual band.
They're not bad.
But awesome.
You're the best.
Thank you, guys.
Here's to hopefully a handful of more seasons of Mad.
Absolutely, yeah. Or at least hanging out.
Oh, well, that's
sometime
that goes without saying.
Future, man.
thanks for being here. Wait, well, we'll do all your social media in the intro, but do you want to plug any of your Twitters or Insta?
Oh, yeah. Well, you can find me all on my website, piotrmichael.com, PIOTRmichael.com.
The R is silent, people.
Well, it's almost silent, but whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Piotr.
There's 45 pronunciations of my name. My dad mispronounces my name. He calls me Piotr. So Jesus now there's going to be somebody, there's some fan who's going to run up and like, Piotr.
Sounds like a Game of Thrones character.
Piotr enters the throne and sits on attack.
Worst episode of Game of Thrones ever.
I always think that when somebody makes a sound like in the back, I think they're saying my name. They're like, Piotr! Piotr! Hey, somebody knows me here at this Walmart. Piotr!
By the way, I love that you put somebody just having spaz attacks in a Walmart.
That guy with Tourette's knows me. No, so you can find me on PiotrMichael.com, and that has all my social media stuff, just to make it easy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks guys.
So,
that's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or AboutLastNightPodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.